Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modine, and thank you so much to Gugu. She'll be back, I think, on Monday. Yes, on Monday at 6 o'clock. This is Point of View's, one of those roundtables. It's a special broadcast. We had one yesterday. We're making a habit of this. We have one again today. And I just want to read this to you before we start. What we will be doing, we are going to be shining the spotlight on the work of the Gauteng Provincial Legislature. And the purpose of all of this is to strengthen democracy and to improve service delivery. We're joined by chairpersons from the Social Transformation Cluster for an in-depth conversation. This does not exclude you, by the way. You're really welcome to be a part of this conversation. This is your government. This is your legislature. So the numbers, as you know, as usual, 086-000-00959. You can send tweets. You can also send voice notes on 063-688-0959. This is a roundtable discussion on how committees drive oversight, accountability, and meaningful public engagements across the province. So this is your conversation. This is your government. Let's get it going.
Point of View
on Kaya 959
with Pimelo Modine.
What's yours?
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to introduce, I've got a full house today and they're all in studio, so I appreciate it. And I'll introduce all my guests today, and they're all from the Gauteng Legislature. This really does impact you and I. And I'll start by introducing the chairperson for health and wellness in Gauteng, Advocate Ezra Letsolo. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening.
Evening to you and the listeners. Thank you so much for having us.
And also next to you there is Chairperson for Education right here in the Gauteng Legislature as well, Mibone Mhlongo. Thank you so much for being here.
Good evening, Pimelo. Thank you so much for having us.
And also welcome the Chairperson for Community Safety here in Gauteng Legislature, Dr. Bandile Masuku. Appreciate your time as well. Welcome.
Finally.
In studio, finally. Yes, it's lovely to have you.
Thanks,
Pimelo. Let me just make sure that you are closer to the mic. We were struggling to hear you a little bit, but I think everybody else is sounding good. I would like to start with you. First, ladies first. No, you don't mind.
Sure.
And I think, you know, we've had this conversation briefly the last time when we visited your turf, the legislature, in trying to contextualize the job of the legislature as opposed to the Gauteng government. I think it's so important because when we had our conversation, as much as we were trying to explain the differences, more questions were coming through from the public. And I think let's just recap a little bit before we get into the nitty-gritties of the portfolio committees, just to distinguish the difference between the legislature and government itself.
Thank you so much for that question. I think it's very important. And with everything that's going on now with all the ad hoc committees and parliament committees getting closer to the people, I think people are going to start to understand the work that we do as parliamentarians at both the provincial level as well as a national level. Mm. I think I want to firstly congratulate the matric class of 2025 for the completion of their exams today. Well done, and we are wishing them luck, and we are hoping that Gauteng will be number one when it comes to the results.
Hey, yes, totally number one. You know, this number one, we are almost touching it every year. I'm with you there. Yeah, we hope we're going to be number one.
Yeah, no, so basically the work of the legislature is quite different from the work that is done by the departments or the executive. What we do as the legislature, our role firstly is lawmaking. Mm-hmm. Lawmaking in a sense that when you see bills that are being taken, we must have a role there. We must have a say. We must go for public participation where we ask people what do they think about certain bills. I'll make an example of something that is in education, which is the Bella Act. It started at the national parliament. It came to us at the provincial legislature to make our own inputs. We take those inputs again to the public because you can't have policies that are excluding the public. So that role is lawmaking. We have oversight as well. Oversight, which is quite important because budgets are given to departments or governments, and those budgets that are given to those departments must be accounted for. So the oversight role that you play is on the implementation of those budgets that are given to the departments. For example, in education, we have budget that is allocated to school nutrition. We must ensure that that goes into school nutrition. We have budgets that goes to scholar transport. We must ensure and hold the department accountable in terms of scholar transport and that those scholar transport are proper. And then there's budgets that go into infrastructure development, a number of things. Therefore, we must be able to hold the department accountable. They must be able to tell us that we are doing 1, 2, 3. But outside of them telling us, we go to do oversight in those particular areas. Education, we go to schools, we go to districts, we visit certain infrastructure projects. So it's important for us to also be there physically to see that what the department is saying they are doing, they are actually doing whatever that they're speaking about. There's also what we call public participation that is part of our legislature work. And it's quite an important component because we do believe that in whatever that we do, we must be able to involve the public because we were elected by the public. And as the legislature, when we are holding departments to account, for example, now throughout the committees, we are doing annual reports, which is the department coming to account to the public to say, these are the budgets that we were given. We have done 1, 2, 3. And this is where we are. And then the public is able to answer, ask questions to whichever department that they want to do that to. Education in particular, we are having our public meeting tomorrow in Kutong, and we are inviting the public to come and join us as well there.
Dr. Masuku, you probably have the toughest one in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, safety, where every day we can say, you know, there's a story here, there's a story there. And that distinction, I think I keep asking you this, you're not responsible, you're not the executive, but you have this difficult role of that oversight role that Mboni just spoke of this very difficult element of our daily lives in Gauteng.
It is very difficult and because of the different social economic factors that we speak about all the time. And I think worse this year, since July, we have the problem of which we have been discussing, the trust and confidence of the community on the police and the work that they do. And one of the important things that we do as a committee is to make sure that the police are accountable to the citizens and also accountable to the public in general. And we would want them to be able to improve on their public relations and also how they relate to communities, because the trust and the confidence now, it's something that has waned over a period of time, and we are quite worried about it. We have discussed the issue of statistics.
Yeah.
You know that the statistics show a particular direction, but we know the limitations of the statistics. They don't actually replace the actual feeling and the perception of the community being safe. So it's one of the most difficult. But I think that with the determination and the, you know, the energy that we have put in, you know, even as an oversight committee, in just making sure that we hold the police accountable, there is some good work that is coming out of it. And we have seen some positives that are, you know, are coming from it.
Advocate Lizzo, we were speaking earlier on about how a lot of this is overlaps. So it is a particular cluster called social transformation cluster. And I think that for me, I think is very important in getting people to understand that, yes, sometimes you have an issue at a school, but it's a safety issue sometimes. It's a health and wellness issue. It's not an education issue while it happens within the school environment. And maybe helping the public understand, then how do we then get to hold which department accountable? Who do we then go to when things overlap in that way?
Fortunately, government is well-structured. And I think its designs are such that it enables a checks and balance system. So what you will see is that for every one department that you will have, you will have a corresponding overseeing, you know, a structure in the form of a portfolio committee. So if you have regard to all the departments that you have in Gauteng, whether it be health, whether it be community safety, whether it be social, you will find that there would be a corresponding portfolio committee to oversee the programs as well as the work of those specific departments. So if there's an incident that happens in a particular school, you will find that there would be an accounting institution in the form of a department that is related to the mandate of that specific issue.
So let's talk about your portfolio, which I also think is a tough one, and some of the things that you would deem. I don't think it's possible to fix everything at the same time.
Sure.
There is no expectation like that. But for the public who feel like everything almost seems to be collapsing at the same time, what is the priorities of your portfolio that you have made your own priorities as a portfolio for this year alone, for instance? What are you looking to achieve?
Well, there's quite a number of those, but I think primary to us, really, capacitation issues. You will pick up on several reports on the shortage of healthcare professionals, you know, be they doctors, and not only just the doctors, those that have got different qualifications in specialties, you know. Nurses, you might take for granted that we've got the sufficiency of midwifery and nurses, and the contrary might be true. You know, people who may be responsible for, you know, anesthesia, you will find that there isn't as much adequacy of those. So several categories within the healthcare, you know, delivery platform. So for us, a capacitation becomes the primary, and I think it also corresponds with some of the expressions about what the NHI seeks to achieve. But secondly, the brick and mortar issues, health facilities, how they look, their makeup, you know, the building, the content of the buildings themselves. I think if you have regard to the Gauteng situation, you will find that quite a number of our health facilities have aged, drastically. And I think there has been conversations about investing, you know, in a newer hospital stock, newer, you know, clinical stock, so that they match up with the kind of clinical services that are being envisioned. So that also constitutes, second of our priorities as well. But the whole, I think the third thing for us, the whole gravitation towards the use of, innovative instruments or platforms, you know, the use of technology. Not so long ago, we visited Qatar, and what we saw in some of their facilities, I mean, the reliance on, the use of digitized systems. I mean, just to manage, for instance, queue management systems, you know, they need to be digitalized. Patient appointments, you know, they need to be digitized. Patient records, we want digital ways of doing that, so that you don't come into a health facility and you're told that your file is lost or that you are queuing, you know, for several hours. So I think top of my head, those are some of the priorities, but also just the financial management of the institution. I mean, you will pick up in our reports, historically, the department has had to contend with persistent accruals, you know, exceeding billions and billions of rands. So I think that is about one of the focus areas that we are looking at.
And in fact, I'll come back to you. But when you speak of that, I often wonder where would it end? Because as you said, it's over years. It's over years. There is no one single budget that's going to deal with the accrual problem and dealing with the kinds of invoices that are sitting. Some of them, I think, go back 10 years, I think. How do we get to finally arrest the situation?
We fortunately are seeing a bit of a reduction from where the situation is, and there are contributing factors to that. One of them is litigations. I mean, you know, the health delivery platform is a litigious one for known reasons. You know, so if you will look at the medical legal a bill in itself, I mean, at some point it stood at about 18 billion, you know, and continuously, you know, accruing. But also the delay in the payment of a service, providers has also been applied. But I think now with the kind of, financial management instruments that have been introduced by the department, we're seeing a bit of a reduction, and it requires a prioritizing, on clearance. It also requires a mediation in certain respects, because you're not going to do it alone as a department, but you may have to interface with those that are, afflicted by those internal arrangements.
Mwiboni, when it comes to the problems that you get to see, again, I was speaking to you about how the public sometimes wouldn't know, when it's an infrastructure issue, would they have to hold the department accountable, or is it Public Works, or at which point do they hold who accountable, especially at the provincial level?
So basically in education in particular, we would have most schools in relation to infrastructure being built by the Department of Infrastructure instead of the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, we become the client. Education
the
becomes the client, and then they become the landlord. So as you say, so in essence, what would then happen is that we would have what we call joint oversight committees.
Mm-hmm.
We have done joint oversight committees in relation to infrastructure projects. We have done them in relation to safety in schools,
mm-hmm.
but in relation to infrastructure in particular, because there's been quite a number of challenges in that area,
mm-hmm.
wherein we have a lot of schools that were built before 1994 and they've become dilapidated, or you've got challenges of maintenance. So in areas where infrastructure is involved, both the departments get involved. So in a sense where we are saying that you as DID are the implementing agent, then we can be able to have a joint committee with the infrastructure portfolio committee, which is something that we have done. We have also done joint oversight visits, which we also think are important, because there you are able to call both officials from education as well as officials from education and infrastructure, so that there is no goalpost shifting, because at certain times when something is not being done, people don't want to take accountability. So if there's education is going to say no, it's infrastructure. If there's infrastructure, they're going to say no, it's education. So having them both in one place makes it much easier to be able to hold those people into account. I'll make an example of Lakeside Primary School, which is a school that has been on the news, wherein the contractor would have been given work by DID, but they did not do what they were meant to do. And we had to, with the Portfolio Committee for Infrastructure, go to that school together to say that we are calling the Department of Education, we are calling the Department of Infrastructure, we need to hold this person accountable. Up to a point where that contractor was terminated and a new contractor has then been appointed to finish the work that has to be done in that particular school.
Let's talk about the challenges of what sometimes we don't understand. So you would have the oversight role, and there is an example of another school which, you know, when you look at the order of how things went, it's okay. The school no longer was of use to the Department of Education. No problem. The department decided we cannot use the school anymore for things like, I think there was very little registration and so on. That's not a problem. However, the handing over back to Public Works, somewhere there was an issue. The community took the school and then decided to just live in the school. I'm sure you've also seen the case. And so one then wonders, the school now has become a place of residence for residents, and their excuse is, well, it's, we want housing, the place is empty, no one seems to be taking responsibility, we'll take over. And so from both sides, from the community, from education, from infrastructure, everybody has a point to make about, we saw better use in this way. At which point would we have had the legislature come in? Because right now, it's very difficult to get them out. It's too late, almost. They've settled in the school. And they know they shouldn't be there, but they are now there. And you know how the law works in this country. You know, you can just throw people out and so on. There's a process. At which point would the legislature have come in to intervene? Let us say there was a difference of opinion about whether education or infrastructure needed to take custody of this property. At which point would the legislature have come in?
Now, that question is quite an interesting one, because there is a similar situation, but there's no residency, happening in Daveyton.
Mm.
When you do have certain schools where maybe the population has went down, maybe parents have different preferences over schools, and then the school is no longer, doesn't have enough people for it to continue operating.
Yeah.
And as such, there is no point in keeping that particular school open.
Mm.
And the department rightfully does give it back to infrastructure as the implementing agent, that to say that now this school is no longer functional.
It,
we are no longer in need of it. Now, there's over 2,000 schools in Gauteng, and at times it's difficult for us to be able to get to all of them all at once. We do rely on public information. We do rely on the public coming out to us to say, portfolio committee, there's 1, 2, 3 happening, because you might find that we do not even know that there is such a thing that is in existence. And as such, we were not able to then have an intervention on time. So it's very important for the public to come out to report to the legislature to say that this is 1, 2, 3 that's happening. We are requesting for an intervention in instances where we do not necessarily know what is going on, including the schools themselves, the community just generally saying that this is what is happening. Because, I mean, there's no point in keeping a school open whereas there are no learners are there.
Yeah. Dr. Masuku, you and I have spoken about accountability for a long time and bridging that gap and that trust deficit. Where do you think, in your view, are the cracks? There's a lot of public participation programs. You know, you do that work, you're out there a lot. People get to tell you what the problems are. You get to hear them and so on. But still, there seems to be this, when you speak to people outside of that forum, they will tell you government is too far. Where is the problem? Where is the disconnect?
I think the one of the lessons that we've learned over time is that we need to improve public participation. You know, in a very broader sense, because seemingly it means that we are not touching base on many people, and we need to leverage on the media, and we also need to leverage on maybe social media, which is one platform that I think we are not utilizing it quite well. And if we can be able to strengthen that aspect of public participation, we could be able to also just on the issue of raising awareness, you know, not only just on complaints, you know, but just to increase awareness, make people aware that they are also responsible for crime prevention and also reporting, you know, any of the wrongdoing. So that's one aspect that we know we need to do more about it. And as a committee, you know, as such, we've done a bit more to try to improve that. You know, it's not sufficient. But I think with us going out there, as you say, you know, it does play, you know, that role. But we are also aware, as chairperson sitting here, that we need to do more to improve public participation. The point that we are talking about the schools, for an example, you know, you, for a school to be able to be left, you know, there should be a public participation process. And the community must also decide what they think, you know, the school should be turned actually to be what, you know, for the benefit of the community, and I think that's one of the aspects that we need to do.
Shall we take a quick break and maybe allow those who have questions? No question is stupid. You know, you are more than welcome to ask your questions on 086-000-00959. You can also send voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Gauteng. Learn more about what the Gauteng Provincial Legislature is doing to improve your life. This is Point of View.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us as we continue our conversation with the Social Transformation Cluster in Gauteng Legislature. So basically, these are representatives of different portfolio committees in Gauteng Legislature. And I think we went through a bit of what it is that the legislature does in the province as opposed to the executive. And so we've got that cleared out. I think we're now going to try and delve into the nitty-gritties of each portfolio committee. I'll come back to you and start with you, Advocate Letswalo, and ask you about, you know, often when we spoke just now about public participation, for instance, and one shouldn't be naive in thinking just because you have arrived as a legislature, people will be fully honest with what it is that's happening. And I think that's where the difficulty is. People will speak of victimization. So, for instance, you come and this is the stronghold of party political X, and you are now expecting them to tell you what's happening with a councillor who's now going to victimize them when you are gone. That's a very tight rope to walk.
No, it definitely is. But I suppose in reflection, when you have regard to the makeup of our democratic dispensation, you will find that it has got the dualities, both representative but also participatory. Members of parliament, members of the legislatures will also bear their own limitations and will obviously rely on society that is organized. So we need a bit of a social engineering. Society has got to be organized. You know, it should join in and converge efforts with these institutions that we refer to as a people's parliament to reinforce our collective ability to hold those that we have tasked with the responsibility of governing, you know, to govern the way in which we are intending for that to be the case. Of course, you would want to create the platforms where people are cushioned from any victimizations. Yeah. And there are those platforms. I mean, ordinarily were reachable or accessible, such that if any member of the community wants to disclose or share. You know, I think a couple of days ago, we were debating a motion in the legislature, just a paying tribute to whistleblowers, you know, that we need to engage ourselves in, you know, reforms as it relates to the protection of whistleblowers. And I think it's an ongoing conversation that we're having. But beyond that, the agency that society, ordinary men and women have should not be diminished on the account of, you know, sporadic victimizations. They should stand tall. And I really think we should encourage members of our communities to be able to report, you know, malfeasance, maladministration, where there's failure. Because if you don't do that, it manifests itself in ways that will ultimately implicate all of us.
Miboni, there was a report that came out a couple of days ago that speaks to the violence in the schools, but particularly statutory rape, and how when you look into the data and the detail, part of the problem is the issues of reporting lines. Difficult to report, difficult to navigate. So the district, the school would say maybe the district must handle it. The district may say the school governing body must handle it. The school governing body throws it back to and parents and basically schools saying we are struggling with who to ask to take accountability for person X, because the person X is employed by national, for instance, right, or the province, and nobody wants to deal with the administrative burden of going through this entire process of dismissing somebody, because it could also be a false claim. I mean, there are many, many things that come into play. And so maybe let's talk to us about some of the issues that you are finding in this department that are difficult to deal with, particularly with regards to violence.
That is a very sensitive subject, particularly in this month where we are in the 16 days of activism, which should actually be every day. We should be protecting girl children and women in general and all the vulnerable groups. But it's interesting that you would mention that, because the portfolio committee has been engaged with the department on what is called the sexual offenders vetting, which is a very important thing for us as the portfolio committee, and we've been pushing the department to say that we have a problem that, to a certain extent, sometimes there's no synergy between certain departments, because, for example, the department has to it's a process to get to see who is a sexual offender. So someone can go and commit a crime somewhere in another province
and go
and
apply
come to
another,
Gauteng and apply for a job, and they become a teacher. And we don't know that this person is a pedophile. So we've been pushing with the department that they need to push to ensure that we are able to have that synergy between community safety and the Department of Education. They must have somehow access to those files so that we know on time that these are the people that have been vetted, so that we have understood that you are a teacher and you're not a sexual offender.
And Dr. Masuku, you would know also that that's part of the difficulty. The responsibility of releasing the data doesn't even sit with the executive. It sits with the police.
It sits with the police, and now we know we have got a delay.
Yes, you know, huge delay.
And at least they told us that tomorrow they will be releasing the first quarter and the second quarter crime stats. But of importance is the ability to do partnerships and collaborations, you know, because as the legislature, we might not be able to reach out and be everywhere every time, you know. So it's important as part of our new ways of doing things as the legislature is to collaborate and create partnerships with NGOs and research institutes and people who are almost every day deal with the whole matter, you know. So it's an important aspect of innovation that we are putting in. You know, we are, you know, as a community safety committee now looking at the collaboration with gun-free South Africa, just to make sure that we push the narrative and we create awareness. Because most crimes that happen in our country and in the province are through a gun, you know, and even the GBVF crime, you know, is also through a gun. So we need to be pretty much innovative to improve our functioning and make sure that we are able to properly do and hold the executive accountable. You know, one of the things that we also been worried about is the depth of our oversight, our strength of our oversight. You know, we do approve annual reports, approve financial state and the teeth.
Yeah.
You know, so there are institutions like the Public Protector who they are. A verdict or their recommendations are actually enforceable by law, you know. So those are collaborations that we need to be looking at to make sure that we definitely work for the citizens and hold the executive actual accountable. Our limitations are there, and we need to find innovative ways of improving you know, some of those aspects.
Yeah, because my point, part of what would then happen is that the school or the province would say, we need teachers. Can you not see we need to employ people? We cannot be waiting 6 months or a year for vetting, you know, that very difficult balancing act.
Yes, it's a very difficult balancing act. But in instances where there have been an offender that's been identified or alleged in a particular school with immediate effect, the department, I think the MEC agrees with the portfolio committee that that person immediately they get suspended once they are... Once the case has been opened, they get removed from the space where the child is, because you can't be an alleged accused person or a victim is seeing you every day. So they are then able to move them to a different, either to work at the district or to be in an administrative post where they are not interacting with the learners, because we do understand the importance as well of protecting the learners until such cases are resolved or until such we see where the case is going to.
Dr. Lesolo, are the auditor's reports improving year on year?
Well, there is a bit of an improvement, but also fluctuation. And remember, the Auditor General's report will present with a different findings and observation on different aspects, you know, of functionalities of any department area. And so you may find that in a particular, you know, a defined period, the focus would have been on a specific subject. And there could be an improvement in the next cycle, but a regression on other
something
areas,
else,
you know. And so what we essentially need is a consistency of application. We need that across the board, across all deliverables. There's a consistency of inputs as well as outcomes, you know. So we are worried about that. And I think a part of, you know, the focus areas is essentially how do you level up and enhance efficiencies in government.
Yeah, because I want to ask you how we've been lucky in a way in the province that we haven't seen too many moving parts, no musical chairs, but there have been attempts, as we all know. And to what extent that affects directly to the a particular agenda, as you say, in one financial year, we were focusing on this because we had a program, right? And then we make some changes and we make improvements, and then a new principal comes in, changes the agenda completely. Then we leg back, and we almost have to start all over again. Just maybe talk to us about that stability and how important it is for us to also be participants in making sure there is stability, so that we can then track this improvement fairly.
I think the one way of, you know, holding the executive accountable on that, you will find that at the beginning of any administrative term, ordinarily departments would plan themselves on a 5-year, you know, a projection. So we may need to find a way, because they get away with changing performance areas, indicators, with every financial cycle. But the actual measuring horizon should be the 5-year cycle, where we say this is your strategic plan. How far have you gone to actualize on those commitments, and are you willing to fall on your neck, should you not have met those specific outcomes? Because we should be more preoccupied and obsessed with the outcomes rather than just the inputs. And of course, society should come closer, should come closer, because there are platforms which are created. But like I said earlier on, we need society to also organize themselves sectorally, because those issues are usually represented in those sectoral platforms.
So to that, Dr. Masuku, I would say to you, it's in a way with crime, a lot of reliance goes on the stats, the number of people who've died and so on. So you can look at those numbers and mostly reliable, especially with deaths, and then say we've done better or not. But that soft power of the relationship between the people and, for instance, the police, it's not necessarily something you can measure in numbers, but very important and crucial in knowing whether are we improving on that trust deficit? Are we getting the public, to Dr. Advocate Letsolo's point, to come forward more, to trust us more with information, to participate in this democracy more?
Yeah, it's a serious irony, because one of the measures that we use now is the number of crime reported.
Yes,
and for more, when we see more cases being opened, it means that the public are coming out more to report, even though we know that in other points somebody will look at if there is an increased levels of crime, but in a sense of measuring the trust, if you measure trust, you measure that, okay, people are coming out more, we are getting more people coming to report crimes. Because the major criticism that comes on the crime stats is that the crime stats, it's only on the crime that is reported, because there's a lot of crime that goes unreported, and that's where we need to also to focus on. And the other focus is just to improve the functionality of community policing, and that's one of the aspects that we've now started to push the Department of Community Safety, that let's get ourselves organized. The framework of community policing was lastly reviewed in 1997.
Interesting. Because
so we need to focus there.
Because there is a discomfort in a South African walking, let's say, to a policeman, whether is this a forceful individual or is this a person servicing me?
That's transformation space. Remember we moved from being a South African
police force correct,
to a
service.
And then now there's a matter that now we have to deal with, that are police very gentle?
Yes. Criminals? I feel like this is someone serving me, or am I afraid?
So we need that balance. And that's the aspect that I've been saying, that if we improve and make changes on how the community policing aspect can be done, we're almost maybe a quarter away from success, because we are going to get more cases improved, actually reported. We are going to get more people reporting even before crime actually happens. So the prevention will be more. So the eyes and ears for the police will be there. So we won't be able to deal with crime if we don't correct that aspect, the trust, the integrity, and the confidence of the community that they have on the police, and their integrity and their standing, if they will be able to report. Because the major issues that they raise is that, our police work with criminals.
Before we get there, I've had different experiences where you would walk into a police station and then the police officer greets you nicely. Or you walk into the police station and the person, and then the attitude, immediately you feel like, I think maybe I'm bothering them, it's okay. And then I want to measure whether my crime was big enough, and so the attitude there changes. So I will not then report what I would think is suspicious behavior to prevent a crime, because maybe I'm bothering them.
Yeah, you know, we know, like, we've been doing the compliance on Domestic Violence Act. We have doing what we call a focused intervention study, where we are just looking at how our police stations are compliant.
Absolutely.
You know, and that also comes to the issue of trust.
Yeah.
Whether are we also having police officers who are well capacitated to deal with such crimes? And also, are we able to help the victim properly?
Yeah.
Not only just going to arrest the perpetrator, but just to also make sure that their social well-being and psychological well-being is well taken care of. So these are areas that are moving targets, but we need to, as you say, have a focused effort to make sure over a period of time that we are just working on those efforts. And for me, community policing will be one of the bigger thing that we need to do to improve.
Let's take a quick break, and very happy to take calls. Questions are very welcome. 086-000-0959. But we'll be back with more after this as I continue our conversation with the Social Transformation Cluster in the province of Gauteng. So the Gauteng Provincial Legislature is putting accountability under the spotlight. This is happening right now. If you've been listening, I've been sitting with the various portfolio committee members just to unpack some of the issues here. And it's a special chairperson's roundtable discussion. The chairpersons from Social Transformation Cluster unpacking how committees drive transparency, real public participation. Gauteng Provincial Legislature, your view, our vision.
You know, there's nothing as frustrating about our country as the fact that we have all systems on paper to say we have these people who are supposed to do these people who are supposed to do that. But the reality and the implementation on the ground is completely different. That's the biggest frustration, because even this legislature, I don't know, when do they implement what they're supposed to implement, etc.
So obviously, we're in conversation with various portfolio committee chairs. We are dealing with health and wellness. We're dealing with education as well as public safety in the province of Gauteng. What we have here is a roundtable of the portfolio committees in the legislature. These are people who actually do the oversight work. I don't know if you heard the voice note. And Advocate, so let's start with you and maybe your reaction to that. You've been addressing the fact that obviously the structures are there and they should be working. I suppose this voice note is saying, why is it not working optimally?
I think there's been a continuous negative feedback across the board, which has gotten to a point where it's overly generalized. And I think it presents us with a problem. But I think more than anything, we should also be able to introspect as society. And I think for me, the emphasis for our discussion this evening is really just about the social compacting. A society shouldn't assume that it's powerless. It is given agency, you know. And I make a point about the makeup of our constitutional democracy. It's not only representative. So you don't get off and say, you know, this cohort of lawmakers, you know, without necessarily involving yourself in the equation. So I think no sooner our people realize that they too are given agency, you know, I think the better. And in that way, you will be able to complement the roles that each of these institutions carry.
Mbonyi, you've got the tough job, because from what Advocate Letswana is saying, yes, we should take accountability. But these children are on drugs. They hardly hear what's happening at school, let alone taking in the information of how they can participate better in society. So our jobs are tough in that sense, because to get the young people, number one, those who are on substances and so on, to become active participants of society, because of course then they will grow up to be active participants of society. It's a difficult one, and I think we had some programs, some drug alleviation programs, rehab programs. Where are we with this and some of the work that you've been doing as the legislature?
So I think the safety in our schools is one area that is very important to us. The issues that happen in our communities overlap to our schools, and we've seen in schools such as West Ridge High and War School, Rodoport, where there was a fight that ensued, and a number of learners were affected, including the principal, who was also stabbed in the incident that took place. So it was important, I think, and it continues to happen, that the department has imbizos that they do with parents, they do with learners, and that they do also even with the staffing component in the schools, the safety imbizos. Then our job is to then check with the department, how many imbizos have you done in this quarter? Because it's important for us that those safety imbizos are done. We have what is called Adopt a Cop, where each school is able to adopt a cop, and there's a particular police person that is dedicated to a particular school. There's been search and seizures that are happening consistently in the schools, and at times as the oversight or the portfolio committee, we go and do oversight on those. We've had instances where, for example, in Alexandra High is literally next to a police station. Mm. The deputy principal was stabbed in the school by Elena when the police station is just next door. You know, so you've had certain incidents before there was the Adopt a Cop program, but we have seen certain changes in certain schools wherein there is more police visibility because there's a dedicated person that can be held accountable to say 1-2-3 is happening in the school. How are we assisting them? Let's do 1-2-3 in this particular school. So there's someone that is closer that you are able to hold into account, and that person is able to report as well to their superiors that these are the situations that we have, and the response time as well in terms of the issues that are happening in school in relation to gang violence. We have high risk areas. You'll go to your Eldorado Parks. We know that it's a community that is prone to gang violence. You'll go to Ekuruleni, and you'll find that there are certain areas that are prone to particular violence, and as such there must be more focus that is intensified in those particular areas. So we've held the department into account in those instances where they've said we've hired private security for high risk areas, so that we know that there is more intensified action in those particular areas than in areas that are less high risk.
Is our problem as society, and I want to just take my lead from Advocate Letsolo here, is our problem that we are being reactive? And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I would love, Dr. Masuku, to talk to you about what we're going to do to keep children busy so that they don't find themselves in the drug cycle and the gun running and all of that. So where your role starts shifting a little bit from policing more to rather, you know, creating environments where we are preventing the incidents that we are seeing. Similarly to you, Advocate Letsolo, where perhaps we are talking about walks in the, you know, in the community rather than people lining up to come get medication. Because if we're healthier and we are eating healthier foods, perhaps there'll be less reliance on the medication. Is our problem, as you speak of society taking responsibility, that we are more reactive? Because I can tell you now, I don't think it's a good sight for a child to be walking into a school environment where suddenly everybody's got big guns around. I don't think it's healthy. I get the fact that we want the safety element, but what are we trying to say and do with that kind of reactive approach?
Yeah, I think we have hit the nail on the head there. You know, one of the important aspects is that there's a breakdown, you know, and also a lack of responsibility. And I know that sometimes we get chastised on the issue of saying that we blame society, we blame communities. But I think as government, we need to be facilitators. That's why I was talking about that. We, you know, this matter of public participation, we need to be innovative enough now as the legislature to, in a real sense, engage in some of these public participation programs, which will create awareness and heightened consciousness. You know, the issue of drugs, for example, the issue of bullying at schools, you know, it's a big problem, but it also emanates from the community, you know, and we need maybe to do more in that space. The lessons and research from other spaces, particularly where countries where there's real gang violence and gangs in the schools in the United States, they've actually taken a lot of programs you know, which are socially orientated, you know, from the police side of things. You know, I think the Adopt a Cop is one of the programs which was taken from there, where cops not only come only on the levels of policing, but they act in terms of giving youngsters activities, mentoring, role modeling, and all that. And we know our police are overburdened, but we also want them to play that role. And maybe the legislature also must start getting into collaborations with NGOs where we can be able to not only sit back and wait people to come and talk to us, but we also go in, you know, and speak to the public. You know, I think the gentleman on the voice note makes a point. You know, maybe the point is that, yes, from where he's sitting, we are not visible, you know, but if we create that visibility, you know, when they make a complaint about something, you act on it and you make sure that you involve the police, you involve the person who has made the complaint. But ultimately, that will build trust. But it's not something that will happen
overnight.
Yeah. But we need to have a mind shift.
Yeah.
You know, the moral fiber in society has actually taken a knock, and we need to do something more about it. You know,
do you want to say something?
I'm actually in agreement because we are not a vacuous society. I mean, if you reflect ourselves on how historically, you know, families used to be structured, how communities were modeled, you will realize that our response to prevailing challenges actually requires to retrace, you know, how society was designed and the interfaces they had, you know. But I suppose with the advent of, you know, an era that ushers in liberties, you were always going to have these kinds of problems, because all of a sudden everybody has got access of expression.
Yeah.
You know, and often it gets to be manipulated, it gets to be abused, you know, and the spillage is what we are seeing being crystallized into violence, into all these social ills that we have. But that is not necessarily to, you know, excuse some other, you know, burdens, be they economically, that could also be, you know, a contributory to some of the social ills that we have. So it's a bigger conversation to be had, but one that requires that we tune in into our own state of consciousness.
I think it's big, but I don't think we should shy away from having the conversation. Just because we can't solve it today doesn't mean we shouldn't start having the conversation. And Mponi, maybe you spoke a little bit earlier on about part of the role of legislature is to look at making the law, you know, and assessing the law and so on. Yes, we have parliament, but there is a role here where we can play at local government level. And I wonder whether when we touch on this proactivity, there's something to be said a bit about how we can tap into some of the inputs that communities will tell you when you're out there. Not necessarily problems, but inputs. So they may say to you, you know, in the school curriculum, there are things that were there that are not long, that are no longer there. You know, when sport was I don't know whether it was, I don't know because I'm not at school.
No, you said that, they call them School Wednesday. They used to have a compulsory.
When it was compulsory,
For youngsters to take back.
They would take that energy there rather than being just doing, you know, hanging out, because I see there's just a lot of hanging around and you don't really know what to do. And I wonder, Dr. Masuku earlier on spoke about also relying also on other partners, you know, civil society and so on. There were programs, I remember a while ago, there were programs in Alex, particularly in Alex, where there was a cohort of young people who decided to test what yoga can do for children in primary school who are in Alex. And the level of their frustration and venting and anger and bullying came down drastically. So small, so, I mean, it doesn't cost anything. It was an experiment. And they stopped because they said no one supported us. No one heard us. They thought it was just fluffy. You know, come to us with big problems. Don't come here with a yoga mat problem. You know, but the point they were making is that there are some problems that don't need many resources. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of us hearing and taking input from communities and doing our bit in making sure that it reaches the levels it needs to reach.
No, that is very important. And what we do, we also do what is called stakeholder engagement. Mm. So we do engage with quite a number of stakeholders, including NGOs. We do encourage, in fact, various stakeholders in the education sector or even in all sectors that we have to come and form part and participate in some of these programs. Because when we bring the department, they are an implementing agent. Mm. So if you come and state your case to say, hi, I'm Pimelo, this is what I'm doing with the learners. Mm. I know there are partnerships that the Department of Education has had with NGOs that are dealing with social issues, and NGOs that are taking kids to rehab, NGOs that are looking after kids mm. that are living in child-headed families, different mm. types of NGOs that do different things. So I do know that there are those types of partnerships that are in existence. It's just a matter of people coming out to say, I'm doing 1-2-3, 1-2-3. But also, the point that you're making about, you know, the lawmaking and mm. the policies, right now we are having a debate about the quantiles in schools mm. on mm. whether does it still make sense to have them structured here. Yeah. The way that they are, and yeah. it's a national prerogative, of yeah. course, but we must make those inputs, and we must call on the public to also mm. make those inputs to say that if a school was a quantile 4
Absolutely.
At a particular time,
I
and
agree.
Now it no longer is a quantile 4 because of the type of people that now live mm-hmm. in that area, and mm. the number of informal settlements that have mushroomed mm-hmm. and the different communities that are there in existence. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of issues that we are actually now starting to interrogate because we think it's important that we go back to addressing them.
Can we take a break? Because I'm in trouble now. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of your questions and more insights from this. My guests here are portfolio committee chair people in the province of Gauteng. And we're dealing with health, we're dealing with education, as well as public safety. Your questions are very welcome. You can do what you've been doing. Send voice notes on 063-688-0959. Or you can call in if you like. You can stay anonymous. It's okay. 086-000-00959.
Gauteng. Learn more about what the Gauteng Provincial Legislature is doing to improve your life. This is Point of View.
We continue our conversation with the joint person. We're joined by persons of the social transformation cluster. So these are three clusters that deal with issues of social transformation, health, public safety, as well as the education. And it's chairpersons of the legislature in Gauteng here. Let's talk, Advocate Letsolo, let's talk about some of the other issues that have been, you know, that have been on the spotlight because of problems we spoke about, drugs and all of that. And I cannot tell you how many times I hear clinicians, people working in hospitals, nurses and so on, who say, you know, especially over the weekend, we see people we should not necessarily be seeing, right? And some present, for instance, as a mental health issue because somebody has OD'd. And it's complicated, right? And the capacity of our institutions, historically, you know, our infrastructure thought we would only have this number of people who would come in with mental issues, or sometimes it would be something over time. But the spikes, because of obviously you are seeing substance abuses, the spike of a sudden attack would be so unnatural, would be so sudden, would overburden the state at a particular time, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of thing. How do we keep up with the kind of problems that we are seeing in society right now? And obviously meeting service delivery, of course we have to do that, but how do we keep up with just how changing our society is becoming?
Yeah, those are major challenges that we unfortunately are contending with.
Mm.
And if you will, I mean, the health system gets to be a converging point,
mm.
you know, because when everything else fails,
mm.
people engage themselves in all kinds of activities, mm. which affects them negatively.
Mm.
And it could even affect their own health.
Mm.
And ultimately, they get to be presented before our different health facilities, and mental health seems to be one of them. I mean, we're seeing an incline in the number of mental health presentations for one reason or the other, whether it related to substance abuse, anxiety disorders, depression, because of a socio-economic, burdens, and all of that, you know. So if you will, for me, really, we may also need to invest ourselves just in enabling society to be able to cope with social pressures that are there. It's not an easy tool. It requires, a plethora of programs, to ensure that people are able to be responsive even to, the kind of care that would be required for different, ailments, different presentations. So if you will, again, a whole orientation around how we carry ourselves as an individual. So the level of responsibility, that governs who we are. And I suppose it's not an easy do. I could be sitting in a comfortable space, to be making a judgment call. So we may not fully appreciate some of the major challenges, that people go through. Some of them are going beyond what they can be able to cope with. So I suppose it's a talking point. It's a continuous talking point, which requires all of us to reflect on common solutions.
Yeah, and to your point about solutions, that also solutions are not that obvious all the time.
Sure.
There is a program I remember, and I don't know which department did this, but I remember maybe 5 years ago, in many spaces, and both suburbs and the township, I may add, where there were exercise machines. You remember those around open parks?
Yes.
And of course, it was a nice idea, right? But for some reason, no one cared. Nobody was on the machines. Instead,
there's a bigger issue that we need to deal with, and I think it's a matter that you raised around the issue of what actually communities go through.
Yeah.
You know, the moral fiber, the you know, how communities organize themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Boitumelo says that maybe we really need to talk around the issues of social compacting.
Mm.
Because we won't be able to deal with these issues reactive.
Mostly,
because now we are dealing with whether it's health, it's people who are coming there already, far ahead in terms of their disease process. You go to school, already the teacher has got issues at home, economic, take it off the learner, the learners.
Yeah.
So it's a matter
it needs
a proper
thing.
Maybe one of the bigger disappointments that we might have to indicate is that the national dialogue that was proposed, that is ongoing apparently, is that we need to also focus on these issues, because it's not about political systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about how we restructure our society and our communities to be able to deal with the problems that we are looking at.
Yeah. And maybe I'll want your take, all of you, on the same issue, because to your point, there is a level of South Africans are trying. So it's not as if everyone is hands offish. So there are civil society activists who are doing a lot on the ground, who know what the problems are, who are out there. There are other organizations. So one gets the sense that people want better for this nation, but for some reason, somehow that we just are not getting it right. And I don't know if there's an answer, a clear answer. I'm not saying that there is. I'm just asking whether, is it because we're asking the wrong questions? Is it because maybe we try and remodel other people's solutions and want to adapt? What are we getting wrong? And I want to give you an example of similar to what I told you about yoga. But Dr. Masuku, this is mainly for you. So a lady opens a dance school in Cliptown and takes in children for free, feeds them lunch after school, and so on. It becomes a place where they can come and, have recreation and get a lunch and also express themselves and all of that. And it's a wonderful program. She gets funding and all of that. And then she says, after Puma 6 months, she sees the children stop coming, sporadically, here and there. And she's thinking, these children were thriving. What's happening? Not at the same time, but there are funny little things that are happening here. Children just stop coming. And she says, after a few times, I then go to the homes to ask, how? I mean, you know, she was doing well, whatever. And she says, in the end, she realized one thing. This place had empowered these children to know better, to be better, and they went back to society that was not better. Mm. And so the society rejected these children who were becoming better. And so, if a child goes back to a home where they're raped, that parent doesn't want a child to be better. Mm. Because the parent is threatened by the idea that the child is now more articulate, the child is now is more
has got agency.
So as people bring solutions, there are problems. And she said she couldn't find a police station or a policeman to help her with the problem. And so she closed the dance school.
Yeah, you know the discussion we had about a force versus a service.
Yeah.
You know, and if we do have a service, the service must not only be about policing.
Correct.
You know, it must encourage these activities that will reduce,
Absolutely.
Crime. And one of the things is that, you know, for the Model C or the affluent society, they do have what they call school camps over festive or over school holidays, where the parents just go and drop off their kids there for 3 weeks.
Mm.
And this is something that we can't do in the township.
Mm.
But it's something that if we can be able to, the kids are a responsibility of a community, you know, and we need to have that mutual mentality. So it's not a kid of, it's my kid. So we have to take care of all of them actually together. So we need to, you know, I know that we will give, that the doctors would also have to play a role, the teachers must have to play a role, but we need to have that agency that we can be able to work, all of us together.
Yeah.
To make sure that we resolve some of these problems.
And to Advocate Letzolo's point, actually, it's not that the police didn't come and investigate. It's that when they arrive, the mother who depends on the income of the perpetrator will say, I read again.
Mm.
I don't know what she's talking about. She knows what she's talking about, but she's going to categorically say, this woman is now bringing us trouble. Because the impact, the socioeconomic impact, is not something that she's willing to confront.
Mm.
No,
I think, brother, also I want to bring it down to the part of education, where it's similar even with what we call learners with special educational needs.
Mm.
There's parents that really don't want as much to acknowledge that my child has an educational need.
Yeah.
They have a problem. They have an intellectual problem. It's a disease.
Yeah.
It's not the fault of the child.
Yes.
And we really are not trying to protect our children.
Yes.
Enough. No.
Yeah.
It's an illness, and there's nothing that they can do about it now. But if they are put in a school where they specialize with the illness that the child has, then that child can be able to have a beautiful future, because they are assisted at their level of understanding.
Mm.
And it's really a generic problem in society that will say uti ungene esikolweni sabantu abasangene ekhanda or something of that nature, which are derogatory terms that we have come to say in society. I mean, we are experiencing and seeing quite a number of learners that are now on the spectrum, and a lot of parents don't really understand.
Mm.
They don't have the support. They don't know what to do. Or when they do know what to do, some of them don't want their children to be seen as a special child or a child that is differently abled from other children. So it's really a societal issue that needs to be spoken about more. There's more awareness that must be made. And our society generally, also, we must be patriotic to our children and to our country, so that we are then able to thrive and to see those kids thriving.
How do we get closer to you? How do we find each other? As much as we need to do our bit as citizens to reach you as our representatives, how do we find each other outside of special meetings?
We usually would communicate. I think a lot of our work is legitimated by continuous interactions with members of society. And that is why even some of our meetings are hosted in the very same township walls, you know, so that people can gain access to us. But remember, we're also members of the communities.
Mm.
So we come from the same communities. People of Harangwano, or Ezra, you know, staying in Zone 8, you know, could easily be accessible. And we even share our contacts. You know, I know I usually get calls from people who will say, you know, in this hospital, I'm being turned back. And, you know, and we attend to these issues. You know, we really avail ourselves. I don't think this court or this generation of lawmakers are not as accessible as may previously have been the case. I know you will see at the end of this conversation, we'll even share. So that, but we want people to call us on a constructive issues.
Sure.
You know, I think that's the only thing. But other than that, the doors of the legislature are always open. We're there. Our offices are there. There's also a petitions platform. Whereas when you are grieved by one or other thing, you can also, you know, fashion your issues around those platforms that are created.
Yeah, and but we need to innovate more, embrace innovation. You know, I think the issues, we know that there's a majority of people who are on social media platforms. So the interaction must also go on there. And also the legislature itself as an institution must also do the same, you know, so that we improve. You know, our cry, I think all the chairpersons, our cry in the last 2 or 3 years has always been that, let's focus on public participation and embrace different types of, you know, interactions besides the town hall meetings, the stakeholder engagement meetings. But we need to find other ways to be able to engage with the community. This afternoon I was having I've got a direct line with the provincial commissioner, and all the complaints that come in, I just forward them to him. So I was going through my WhatsApp chats with him for the whole year. And I then asked the office to say, can we just ask the PC to
compile
just
it.
Give us
report.
Maybe all the reports update. On all these complaints from the beginning of the year up to, I think the latest was last week, you know, from Ezra, you know. So I just want to see something that when we put up a complaint to them, do they respond positively? And it's the first time I do it. So it's one way of seeing, are we effective enough, you know, to represent represent, you know, the community.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something, you know, which troubles me. We want society to also follow the work of the legislation.
Yes.
I usually look at you know, our social media platforms. And you will find that we'll have convened a stakeholder meeting, or it could even be a legislature sitting. And you will find that when you go through either Facebook, Insta, Twitter, there will be about no more than 10 likes. Almost they're giving an impression that there isn't as much an appetite or interest to learn what is happening there. And we're representing, you know.
I also think that is the way that we also put out our messages in the social media.
We must innovate.
But we do. I mean, we're relative here.
No, we are on our own social media platform.
You must go on TikTok. You must go
on TikTok. Yeah, I think we're on TikTok.
You know, it's how you present the message.
We need to embrace newer ways of communication.
Yeah.
But also the you know, one thing that is important is that maybe it's also how we conduct ourselves. You know, we conduct ourselves as old and old people. So
Dr. Masuk,
we need to make sure that we...
Elon Musk was wearing a superhero suit to try and get the message across. He was wearing some armor story. And you know what? We all ask, what is he doing? He was just trying to tell us he's produced something new. So maybe I'll get you a suit. Carrying superhero nyana. Let me take a voice note and we'll get back to our conversation.
What we notice in our area, more especially in our communities, locally, I'm talking about the townships. If there's new developments on my side, that's what I pick up most of the time. In new developments, let's say for instance, there's a new development that's going to be done in the area where they're going to build houses and for people. So on that, I don't think when they build it, they include sports facilities for the kids. I don't know, maybe it's a black mentality. That's how we are programmed, that when there's a development in the area, more especially when it comes to new houses or can be RDPs, the only sports facility for the blacks is a soccer ground. I find it so, in this modern time, it's so disappointing whereby you can't even have a tennis field or maybe a swimming pool, or they come with different sport that were very rare in a black community. Because seriously, if you check, most of the time when they build these houses, when they build this new development, they just put a soccer field there.
Does anyone want to respond?
Yeah. I do want to come in. We went on a study tour just last week with another portfolio committee. We were in Egypt, and they have built over 9 cities in 10 years. And how they build these cities is in such a way that before they can bring people into that settlement, they've built a school, they've built a mall, they've built clinics, they have built all the necessary facilities that a community is going to need, so that you do not have to go out to look for certain things that you can't find in your own community. And I think those benchmarks are quite important, because they do assist in giving us ideas on how to react to some of the societal issues. What he's raising is quite valid. Of course, swimming pools you'll find here and there in our communities, but it's quite important as well to have all of these facilities being in existence as well, especially in townships, in informal settlements to a certain extent. And also what's more important is that even when those facilities are there, our people make use of them. You were making an example earlier about the parks that no one was using. Were just there, and no one is using these particular facilities. So a study just to check, Uti, in these particular areas, these are the main interests of people, probably would be something that would assist us in a direction to say that this is what must be done in this particular area.
Although I must say, and this maybe affects everybody, because the issue of infrastructure affects all the departments, right? Where sometimes it's not as if the spec was not there. It was there. It was part of the plan. The plan was, as you are building the school, you must have facility X, Y, and Z, police stations and so on, ablution facilities, all the necessary stuff. And then you have a contractor who cuts corners. At which point then are you privy to oversight while the contractor is on site? It's a technical question. I don't know whether you are privy, because it wouldn't be under your portfolio. It would be under...
It is, to a certain extent, okay. If you are the client department.
Do you not get given the facility once they're finished? Do they not hand it over?
You are able to, once the budget goes out to a particular contractor and the project starts, you can literally monitor the project until the end. The portfolio committee could even, in certain instances, be the one pushing to say that project A started at this particular time. You said we were going to get it at this time. We are now halfway into the timeline, and you are only at 10% of the work. You've not done much. What is going on? Push the contractor to do the work. So it's very important, and we do those oversights. I'll make an example that today, as much as we are in this portfolio committees that we chair, we sit in other portfolio committees as well.
Got you.
I'll make an example that today we visited in Vereeniging the taxi rank that has been there for quite some time. And it's been built over time in different phases, and you change contractors and due to the portfolio committee visits and pushing the department to say, you are lagging behind in this work, why is it not being done on time? The project has come into completion. There's another DLTC, which is the licensing department. It's a similar thing where there is a contractor that said now they are on time, and even one of the officials was saying that the portfolio committee has assisted by continuously coming to this project because it has also pushed us as officials to not relax and push the people that are supposed to do the job to be able to do their work.
And the other one is that we also, like we say, we are trying to find ways on how we can improve our oversight. One of it is that what we discussed today was that the contractor that was responsible and abandoned or didn't complete the process but the money was paid.
Yes.
As a legislature, absolutely. As an MPL, you know, I must also have a responsibility of opening a criminal case.
Yes.
Because it's fraud, you know, and this is only the other way of improving
like
our work, you know. Because if we say somebody didn't complete and they left and we leave it at that, then it's a problem that taxpayers' money was spent and there was nothing to show off and there's no accountability. So the consequence management aspect, we are trying to see how we can just develop, because our systems are not absolute. You know, we need to make sure that we continuously evolve them to make sure that we are effectively representing the taxpayers and making sure that there's value.
Actually, well, there's another dimension departing from what you are all of you are stating, really, is that, I mean, the creation of human settlement presupposes that you should have all these social amenities, public infrastructure. But often at times, governments respond to a rise in the demand, you know. Whereas we'll see people having, you know, put up a shacks, government might resolve that, let's quickly, you know, deliver housing stock. And you may find that the planning for that specific area is not allowing to invest in those kinds of social amenities. But always remember, even the Constitution makes that point, that government delivers on services subject to the availability of resources. You know, there are certain areas or communities where the dearth of resources might not allow that you invest a certain, because if you were to do it across the board, you would need trillions and trillions of rands. You know, so the intention really is that communities must converge, they must interface. You may not necessarily have a swimming pool, a tennis court, or a craft hub in a particular area, but it could be that it is there within a 5-kilometer radius. The intention is that you should be able to leverage the access of those facilities in such those areas. Remember, we're an open society now, you know, so there are no limitations, there are no barriers. So I thought, let's also raise that, because it's part of the difficulties that government has to contend with.
And different priorities as well.
Different priorities.
So I have a question. I have a friend who has a nonprofit, and it's called Black Health. They offer lots of free social and public health services. They do festivals that are interactive and really help the community engage with their health in a different and non-traditional way. One of the things that she's reported is that she has less turnout when there's free events that are sponsored, that have food, that have goodie bag, but people don't show up. And it got me thinking, you know, you talked about the adult active spaces in townships, because I know there's one in Attridgeville that is hardly ever used. Now it's, you know, overrun with weeds and the ground is cracking and the kids don't touch it. They just hang around in the area. So what socially do we need to change to have people engage with public services that they deserve, that they should have, and regularly engage with these things instead of saying, or this is not valuable? Because, you know, how do we get people to see those spaces as valuable and these events as valuable?
Very interesting question. We can
I think one of the things is that as public representatives, we need to take part in these events. You know, we need to be available to help, you know, to help to increase the participation in some of these events. Because if we also don't take part in those events, we don't, like, go and if there's a fun walk or a fun run, we are not there, but we expect the public to be there. You know, it's something else. Like, I come from a prayer meeting now, which was at Beggarsdal for a prayer meeting for a shop owner was shot last week and it died. So we had a public meeting, but also now raising the issue of guns in the area. And it's an area that is also infested with crime. But if we don't participate in those activities, you know, we are not seen in those spaces. You know, it will be very difficult for the public to come in. So we also need to, as part of improving the public participation, that
We need to be out there, you know, not only wait for people to come to our meetings in the hall. You know, we need to go to them every time when we get an opportunity. You know, in Winterfeld, they are opening, they're handing over the same park. The councillor has put it in social media, Councillor Tsela, DK. It's an area that never had it, you know, so he has worked with a private sector, has put up the outdoor agricultural park and outdoor training facility, and he's having an event. And if public representatives who are in that space are not there to also support him and to call the public out, it will be, you know, something that will be useless. But we need to be out there. You know, we need to. My issue today is that we need to innovate and how we are going to improve all these mandates, accountability,
more community collaboration,
public participation. We need just to innovate and do it differently.
The issue of upskilling for all of these portfolios and departments is a real thing that comes up all the time. There would be either educators, police, healthcare workers who just need to be upskilled to, you know, to deliver on what is now modern day training. And sometimes it's an opportunity for also reassess our values. You know, we sneak it in there somehow. But there is a reluctance sometimes because I've been here for 20 years. What do you mean? I know how to put this drip in. Why would I need to go and get upskilled? Are you saying I'm not qualified? You know, all those things. But it's become a problem, especially in the education sector, where you are getting more and more reports where you are told that teachers are just not adequately trained. Whether they it's old skills, whether they have not kept up, but there is a gap. And of course, then affecting the outcomes of what it is that we get from the students.
No, in terms of teacher training, it's an area that we are also passionate about and have consistently been raising with the department. In particular, I want to draw us closer to where we have learners with special educational needs. And you find me, Mwiboni, I come from UJ. I did my teaching degree. I did
you
not
don't know
have
how
any
to
specialized support for learners that have those
special
disabilities.
Needs.
So now when you get to a school, it sort of, to a certain extent, was a burden on the other teachers that are experienced and that have been there before to try and assist the newer ones to say, no, this is how you handle a learner that has special needs and this is how you deal with matters. So the department has started some training that they do with Matthew Koniwe, a School of Leadership, which is an entity that they work with to train SGPs. They're also now training some of their teachers because this is a gap that has been identified and a gap that we have also spoken about to say that there isn't enough support in terms of the teachers and reskilling and upskilling them again. So it's quite an important area that the department is doing. And just to touch on that as well, going to the ECDs, which is early childhood centers, they have been taken from social development and brought to education. That's another area where you'd find ugogo's vuleli crash somewhere, you know, and they're basically not teaching those kids anything. So there's been now a necessity for those people that are teaching at the ECDs to actually get qualifications. And the department has been assisting with also that particular aspect to say at least have an NQF level 6 so that you are acknowledged to have a qualification to be doing that particular job that is expected of you. So there is that need, and there are certain things that are being done to address it.
I've got Lizolo, if nothing else, what would you hope that people took away from this conversation? What do you want to leave us with?
Well, I would have hoped that they would have gained more insight in understanding the interface between the parliament, because the legislature is parliament, and what they loosely refer to as government, which is the executive, you know. That they've got a unique interrelationship, interdependent, but of course autonomous in many respects. But also understanding the content of some of the programs that are carried by portfolio committees, as well as a plea on our part that they should come closer, in converging their efforts and our efforts to hold the government of the day accountable, because people might assume that the legislature can only do it alone. And part of the reason why we've got a participatory feature is so that we heighten and enhance our abilities collectively to be able to hold those that are designated to lead government to be as transparently and openly accountable to them.
One of the things that I think we need to do more of is to deal with that content that you're speaking of. So, for instance, people would react to a budget that's probably not sufficient when we were discussing the budget prior to that. They were not participating, you know, and therefore there will be this disconnect. No, you're spending too much of the money there. What about this? But we were not taking them along to get them to engage, so that by the time we adopt a budget, we are all on the same page about we were in this together, guys. We prioritized this over that together. You know, nobody took a unanimous decision. Miponi?
I think importantly, we do have somewhat of those public participation platforms where we must discuss with people where what are your priorities in the communities. And to a certain extent, then we juxtapose, or they get juxtaposed with the key pillars of the departments in terms of the implementation. And also, I think what Ezra spoke about earlier in terms of looking at what the demand is and where are the high pressure points and where those that must be the focal points. Hence why we then in the annual reports hold the departments accountable on the budgets that they have spent, because we do understand that there are these pressure points that everyone can see. Infrastructure is one of them. Speak to roads, it's one of them. It's necessities for us to be able to function as a country, and those are core issues for us to be able to address. And those budgets are expected then to firstly go to those particular important areas.
Yeah. Dr. Babandile?
I think the long and short of it, that they must use us.
Yeah,
they must utilize us in every platform, or as where they find us, they must be able to deposit ideas, deposit views, not only complaints. We do accept grievances, but it's important also to deposit. So that when the department comes and say we have budgeted for this, and say, but that's not the priority in the area.
Yeah.
You know, we need this.
I'm going to ask you all to put on your headphones, because we've got a call. This is from Jabulani in Zola. Hello, Jabulani.
Apparently, I have a comrade that used to serve with in the youth league.
Reveal yourself, Wena Jabulani.
I don't hide myself. Netswalo knows me very well. Hey, I have this question regarding education first. Why are they not taking the educators that are graduated previously? Because there's always a shortage of educators, and that thing is not being considered. But you get in the news where they will say we are shortage of 15,000, for example, educators, but that's one. Then go back to Ubandile regarding indaba safety. I was afraid to the safety of our province is still a crisis. That's why we have foreigners who control us. It's not being considered. If they can enforce safety and prioritize it, there, not this thing of throwing ideas. Then after the ideas, they are not being considered. No action, no nothing. Then you will have 2026 youth not voting, not even bothering to vote. Then we'll say the youth is not voting. Why will they vote while they are not considered?
Okay. Thanks, Jabu. Thanks, Jabu. Let's start with
the other. Yeah, well... I think it's a number of inputs that have been made and they may require a bit of time to really reflect. I think as much as the government has got a responsibility of creating, you know, enabling platforms, we also expect that individual members of a society also shape up, invest in themselves so that, you know, their own lives can also be able to progress. Because if we relent under the expectation that something has got to be given to us, it may not necessarily augur well. So we usually do encourage young people. And I think part of the work that we do as the legislature, as we engage a society, it goes beyond the ascribed mandate of our own committees. It's also quite educational in many respects. But also just pointing out to some of the opportunities that are created within different institutions, because there are those kinds of opportunities. I mean, every single one of the departments does open up. You know, I know with the Department of Health, you will find that, you know, they advertise bursaries for learners, young people who might be interested in studying healthcare, you know, sciences or any other related programs. We've seen students have been taken to Cuba, Turkey, all over the world, really, you know. Those that are interested in becoming a nurses, we've seen, you know, them being incentivized. But overall, government also has, at least in Gauteng, and I know the same to be in other provinces as well as the national, we have got the Gauteng City Region Academy here, which sponsors, you know, those that are interested to, you know, go to school or progress academically. But not only just the educational, you also have got the Department of Economic Development, you know, with and in fact, this is but one of the biggest departments, which carries a number of agencies. I think in excess of about agencies, you will find that there's a Gauteng Enterprise Propel. If you want to invest yourself in business, you know, that's an institution that could aid and support your business, you know, initiatives. You also have got your Gauteng Growth Development Agency, also does the same thing. You've got your liquor board, gambling board, which are regulatory bodies, which as and when you would want to enter those spaces, they will also be able to enable you. So there's a number of opportunities that resides within government. I think the point that Honorable Bandile makes earlier on is that users, you know, if you feel that you can't get a head in into some of these facilities or institutions, we are there as public representative. I think our mandate is to be an intermediary between the residents of our province, the citizenry of South Africa, and the powers that be. You know, whether it be a particular department, a public entity, an agency of government, we are there as intermediaries to enable you to gain entry into those spaces.
What's your parting shot?
My parting shot, also, but just to firstly maybe respond to Chabu, I want to say to him that I think the biggest challenge that we have in Gauteng schools is not only the shortage of teachers, but the bigger problem is the overcrowding in the schools that we have because of the in-migration that we are experiencing with people that come to look for economic opportunities in the province. And to a certain extent, there were budgetary cuts that were put into the department, but what I can say is that the Department of Education in Gauteng, their biggest chunk of the budget goes to paying the salaries of educators. Mm-hmm. So out of all the provinces, I could say that we have tried to keep even most of our teachers when there were budget cuts that were done by National to ensure that the learners have someone that can have contact with them on a daily basis. But what I really want to say to our people that is that we have an open door policy. Mm. We are not some people that are in marble towers, and we do love interacting with our people. I, for example, our committee sits our meetings, most of our meetings in schools, because we want to be able to do oversight in those schools, but also because there's not enough time in the calendar to can be able to visit all the schools. But if you have your meetings in those communities on that weekly basis, then you know that you have interacted at least in a particular quarter with quite a number of schools. So we do have an open door policy, and we invite them to interact with us, to talk to us. We are there for assistance anytime they need us. Thank you.
Dr. Masuku?
Yeah, we just have to say to everyone that use us, utilize us, and make sure that we're able to perform our duties in representing the community and the citizens of Gauteng. we are also dealing with a problem that maybe we didn't touch on today. Maybe it's a subject for another day. You know, the fiscus, you know, it's...
I think it's important for us shrinking, to go into it, yeah.
You know, it's shrinking, and we are doing oversights on departments that ordinarily they also have to now reprioritize everything. So as the legislature and the committees, we need to make sure that they prioritize issues that are relevant and pertinent for the citizens. And but overall, I think it was a good interaction. I think they must make sure that they, wherever they find us, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, everywhere, you know, they must just use us, and we'll find a way to get our.
Yeah, I think the parting shot you are leaving us with for me is it's actually quite critical. We do need to have focused conversations really on the budget at every level, so that when people, if I know that we are prioritizing X as a community as opposed to Y, and we've come to this decision knowing together, then I'm not going to go and protest because X is not being developed because I see Y is being developed. If we were in this thing together, somehow I think there is this collective agreement that, folks, we cannot do it all together. Maybe we've started here this year, next year we're going to progress here, so that don't be disgruntled. We are getting there together. I get it, we are doing this together. But I think we don't participate enough, all of us as citizens, in knowing and engaging with the fiscus, as you're saying. We just are unhappy when we don't see things happen. So I'm going to hold you to that. You're coming back.
We are always available to have that conversation. You know, it's the first time we are here, but yes, we are always available to engage. And
I really appreciate that.
I think the issue, the budget standoff that happened beginning of the...
taught us a lot,
you know, has actually improved a bit of insight on how the money gets allocated. So it's upon us as legislators to make sure that it's put on areas where it's important for the citizens.
Yeah. And there's a lot we can also discuss about how we make sure that we can improve on that, the country's fiscus. If I keep holding on to money I should be paying over to the tax man, how do I think I'm going to get services and so on? I really appreciate you coming through on a Thursday night. People are out there partying. Here we are working. We really appreciate it. They're on a Puza Thursday.
They will be roadblocks.
So appreciate you coming through. I think it's a very important conversation. So thank you very much,
thank you,
honorable members.
Thank you so much
for making time.
Appreciate it.
That was the chairperson for health and wellness in Gauteng. That's Advocate Ezra Letswalo, chairperson of community safety, Dr. Bandile Masuku, as well as chairperson for education in Gauteng Legislature, Miboni Mhlongo. I will be back with more in a second.
Gauteng. Learn more about what the Gauteng Provincial Legislature is doing to improve your life. This is Point of View. Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast,
click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.